This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are at Link's Tap Room in Wicker Park. We get the lowdown on all the great events they're having and how the digital beer board works. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brett Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick Wayne.
And we are on location at a bar in Wicker Park today at Link's Tap Room.
Yeah, man. We're here with the crew from Link's, man. We got Mike Quinlan.
Hi, Mike Quinlan here.
Kerry Michael here.
Thanks for inviting us out. Love the spot. A great place.
Glad to have you
drink
guys.
And eat. You guys do some awesome events here. Give us a lowdown of, for anyone that doesn't know what Link's is, which is unfortunate for them, yes. If they haven't heard of you guys at this point.
Yeah, very unfortunate, absolutely. I agree with you on that, for sure. Events and marketing is one of our big strong suits. I think we'd like to incorporate a lot of local breweries, a lot of new and hot items coming out in the market, and we'd like to, you know, share the wealth with everybody locally in Wicker Park and beyond, so...
Yeah, right here in the heart of Wicker Park, which is really cool to see, man. I know before this place existed, because you've maybe like a year or so old, right?
A little over here.
And before that, it was like a wine place or something like that. Now, were you guys affiliated with the wine place at all, or no?
We were not, no. There was a Bin Wine Cafe was here.
Right.
I don't know.
A little bit before its time, I think. You know, I think they came into the area before... all the other types of new concepts started to come on board. Because since they've gone, we've had a wine bar open up and another cava bar on the way, right down the street. So it should be fun for everybody. But damn. I think we satisfy the niche in the craft beer market in the neighborhood as much as possible. So
yeah, your beer board is very unique. I don't think there's anyone else in Chicago that has a digital beer board, right? Yeah, you guys the only place?
That's our digital pour system, which originated out in Portland, Oregon.
Right.
So in the midst of my travels in the past, I stumbled across that at a bar called Bailey's Tap Room.
Great
in
place.
Portland.
Yeah.
If you've been, yeah, lovely, lovely place. And not only seeing the digital pour board, which updates... can show you hop varietals, can show you ABV, international bittering units, particular barrel aging. You know, if something was aged in Woodford Reserve barrels, I can pass that information along to our customers. Most importantly, to a lot of people, it shows you the keg level as well. So the keg level will go from green when it's full, and gradually change from yellow to orange, to red when it's, and then flash red when it's almost empty, so you can be assured to get that last pour of KBS or
right,
whatever.
Right, it's
the
immediate
case
action.
Be.
It's like, oh my god, I need to get that one before it's gone.
It's not just a gimmicky thing, too. It does have some really valuable information, and also for operationally wise, it saves you the ability to have to keep reprinting menus, and if something changes, you know, right there on the fly. That there's no old menus out there. You have the current, most up-to-date information right at your fingertips, which is great.
Yeah. So. Now, you guys, my favorite part is always seeing my face on the board. I can see Brad up there, too, when you check in on Foursquare. So it's been a stellar year for you guys. And you guys just wrapped up a pretty ridiculous party, man. It was the founders, what was it, the Breakfast of Champions you guys were calling
correct.
It, right?
Correct, the Breakfast of Champions. So we partnered with Founders. Brewery we love working with. Our focus here is, you know, local and then Midwestern as well. And, you know, Michigan's right in our backyard. But the Breakfast of Champions, we were one of the lucky bars that received a barrel of Canadian Breakfast Stout, which was the first year since 2011 that Founders brewed that particular beer. And we also had a barrel of KBS, the Kentucky Breakfast Stout, squirreled away. So
saving just for this moment.
Yeah, we figured it would come in handy someday. So we went ahead and we tapped both of those beers. Tremendous turnout.
People, I can imagine people like completely losing their shit on a Sunday morning. No one's got anywhere to be.
Oh, we can swear. Come on. Right. Hey, this is a game changer now. Yeah. No, but Sunday morning. So, you know, the event was well marketed. And when it comes to Canadian Breakfast Stout, you know, it sort of does its own marketing for good reason. It's a phenomenal beer.
Yeah.
So we in this case, we did ticket this event. This was the first ticketed event that we've ever done. And that was mostly at the behest of founders who they have obviously done quite a few of these events. And to keep things civil, you know, this is kind of one of those beers that everybody wants. So we wanted to keep things civil. So we actually charged $12, got you a ticket, which guaranteed you a pour of Canadian Breakfast Stout, an 8-ounce pour, and then we did donate two of the $12 went to the Chicagoland chapter of the Alzheimer's Foundation.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. Yeah, you gotta do tickets. You don't want that one guy filling up, getting like three pours and putting it in a water bottle and trying to trade it on the internet.
But it's so limited like that. We also, you know, nice thing that we like to do too is because our kitchen is on top of its game. We always like to pair something with the beer and with the food and try and incorporate that specific beer. And we actually did pancakes with the spent grain from Peace, which is our back door neighbor.
Yeah.
And we used the founder's breakfast stout to make the maple syrup out of it. And it was just, it blew out of the, 20 minutes, we were gone. We were all out. So.
We also incorporated the Bliss maple syrup, which is the maple syrup that is in those bourbon barrels before they put the breakfast or the imperial stout back into it to make the Canadian breakfast stout, which was kind of fun and tasty at the same time.
So how was the turnout? You guys had like a line. I saw that picture on the internet, right? People were lined up before you even opened.
The doors at 10:30, and you know, we opened traditionally at 10:30 anyways on Sundays, so we didn't want to get up any earlier. 10:30 is early enough. So we actually, you know, at 10:30 people just started lining up, and nobody was in any rush. Nobody had anywhere to be, like you said. It was just really just a nice turnout. Everybody was there for the same reason, to enjoy something that's unique, and they don't get a chance to taste very often, which is nice.
That's cool. Would you say that's been your favorite party up to this point? Of the ones you've done? Because you guys roll parties like all the time.
2015, that's a good way to say it. I mean, we've had some other really interesting events, obviously.
They had the one-year anniversary party.
We did the one-year anniversary, which we did a barley wines, which is sort of in the spirit of weddings and anniversaries and things of that nature.
We did one of our most unique promotions was Halloween. A little bit aggressive this year, our first year, but we're traditionally American craft beer. But we decided to dress up for Halloween as a Belgian beer bar.
Okay.
So we changed all 36 taps to Belgian wines, and it was pretty successful. It was aggressive and tough to do, but we pulled it off. We managed to pull it off. So and some of those Belgian beers are, you know, pretty heavily intoxicating.
As well. I know.
So there were a lot of heavy, expensive beers on there. So it was overall, it was a great event. I think people really embraced that as well. And that's kind of something that we're looking to do again. We're not necessarily going, we're not going to do the Belgian thing again. It's going to be a surprise.
He's showing us the shirt. They changed the name of the place for that's pretty cool.
And that's, I'm a fan of the band Phish. So for Halloween, they perform another band's album as their musical costume, and nobody knows what they're going to do, and they change it. So sort of in the spirit of that, we did this Belgian theme, and this year we're already kicking the ball around on what our costume is going to be, but it's a surprise. So it's still a surprise to us too. We haven't figured it out yet. But
well, it's funny that you mentioned Phish, because we went to an event yesterday, Nick and I. Sweetwater is now here in Chicago, and they're probably the most hippie brewery there is.
Yeah, well, if you notice when you first walked in, the full-size street sign that says 420 coming your way. So.
That's our newest addition to the Tacker Wall of Fame up there. the big 420 Sweetwater sign.
They definitely fall into the hippie category. We were talking about the three general categories earlier, right?
The envelope blew. The names of their beers, it's exciting to hear that come to the markets, especially with right down the street, we're getting the first dispensary, legalized dispensary.
Right, yeah.
Right down the street.
Or Emporium.
Right next to Emporium, yeah.
Medicinal dispensary.
But it seems to go hand in hand with this business, from Lagunitas to Sweetwater. It seems as if everybody is pretty out in the open with the way that they like to
party.
Relax.
Relax. Unwind. Disconnect.
Absolutely.
But this is a fun event over at Lakeshore Beverage. Yeah. We got the invite. It was like a preview of all the Sweetwater beers. They had bands playing. They had some food. Reps. Yeah, it was a good time. The bands all sounded the same.
It was all like Grateful Dead-ish.
Right.
I know the Pistachio Brothers were the first band to start, and then the next band was, Paradise Waiting or something like that. You know, very much kind of like summer festival kind of band. You know. It was a good party. The Hop Hash is something I really enjoyed. It's one of their IPAs. And he was saying how, they don't take the whole flower. They literally take, whatever you would call that resin from the hop. You know, so, thus the name, Hop
they
Hash.
Somebody was kind of explaining that to me. They take all the hop residue that builds up around the sides of the tanks.
Okay.
And then they use that in the process of making this beer. Yeah, so it really is kind of a resin that goes into making this hop hash, which initially I guess was either a one-off or a seasonal release, and everybody enjoyed it so much that they do it year-round now.
Yeah, yeah.
And plug here, shameless plug, we're going to have not only the regular version of that on our lines tomorrow night. We're doing a little Sweetwater event of our own at 8 p.m. tomorrow on March 25th. we are fortunate enough that we got our hands on a cask of hop hash that has some citrus fruit added to it as well. So we'll have that on the beer engine.
That's going to be a good time. Yeah, I thought the 420 was nice. I'd never had their stuff before yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I've been down to the brewery in Atlanta, and it's crazy how big it is.
Is that right?
Yeah, like the tanks. It was like 4 years ago I went down there, and it was just like, holy moly, these guys are massive for not knowing them at the time. It was crazy.
It really
is. Now,
it's impressive walking into these big facilities this size. Uh-huh. It's crazy.
Would you say they're number...
Yeah, you said they're the 15th largest craft brewery in the country.
Oh.
The largest in the Southeast.
Wow. Yeah. I believe it.
And now they're here.
Yeah, I was at Abita like a month ago and checked out that facility. Massive. So I can only imagine how big Sweetwater is as well.
Yeah, so they're adding to an already competitive landscape here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think they have a unique niche that will fit in nicely and not, disrupt too many people.
They definitely have their own vibe. You know, I can see them fitting in. And much in the way Oscar Blues fits in, much in the way, like you said, Lagunitas fits in, the chain of lakes, all these lakes that are surrounding like suburban Chicago,
Nick and we were talking before the podcast, and I was joking. I said I always like to think there's the three camps of the craft beer world. There's the hippies, the hipsters, and the death metal.
Okay.
Sweetwater definitely falls into the hippie category, and I said, we kind of fall into the in-between hipster and hippie here, so we welcome them with open arms.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a nice crossroads talking about the bar, because it's well laid out, but it's not very pretentious. It's informational, but it's not overly nerdy. It still feels like a pub. You even got wines on. What's going on with these wines, man? Those are four wine drafts? Is that what that is?
We have five wines, and then we have Fernet.
whose idea was the wines and the Fernet on draft?
I think it was group decision.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to do the wines on tap, and there's just not a tremendous amount of tap quality wines on tap, so we came up with five, left us with one handle open, and we're looking to figure out what made sense. We tried sparkling just didn't work on tap, and then the Fernet just kind of we started with Underberg here. We use as one of our products.
All right.
And we wanted some sort of little shooter that went hand in hand, and the Fernet just kind of popped in our head, and we said, let's try it.
Cool. Now, I've never had Fernet, but I have people well, I have tried to describe it. Yeah. I think well, I do want to try some.
That'll actually help that cough.
Yeah, I do have a nice little cough here. He said somebody tried to describe it as like the West Coast version of Merlot. Is that what's your interpretation? I don't know.
Fernet is kind of in the digestif camp. It's more of a we have the Fernet Branca here, which is it's a minty dark liqueur.
Okay.
Merlot. We also have Merlot, not on draft, but in bottle. Merlot is a very unique flavor that I personally am not particularly fond of, so I don't really know how to describe it nicely, but...
rhyme.
Or gasoline and hairspray.
Yeah, there's a little citrus in there, but it's definitely, it's a little bit different than the Fernet. Oh, heavens. And here comes the Fernet.
We all have a pour here now.
Fernet. Describe it to the podcast.
It really throws off our beer pass.
Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
I really appreciate your time.
You sip as well.
Wow, it is a very unique smell.
Again,
it's nice.
Kind of the general theme here. You know, you're mentioning. I mentioned Portland, and you know, in my travels, and actually, Carrie and I did go out to the West Coast, to the Pacific Northwest, when we did some of the concepting for here. Very inspired by the bars out there, the beer, particularly the beer bars out there, and the way that they do things. Where you know, we don't have waiters or waitresses. You just approach the bar and you order something. We have a dedicated area for you to do that.
The whole casual setup and the nature of the way that people kind of hold themselves out west is just kind of the way that we wanted to hold ourselves here. We didn't want it to be in a high-strung atmosphere. We're constantly being monitored and questioned, and are you ready for a drink? Are you ready for another?
Right.
We wanted everybody to go at their own pace. We wanted to come in during the day, plug in your laptop, do work undisturbed. We will not disturb you. We're going to do your thing. Order food at your own pace. We don't need this, you know, everyone's here. Let's get the order in. Come up and do whatever you want at your own time. So it's just really just a non-obtrusive, unobtrusive kind of atmosphere.
Did that throw people off? Like the new people that come in, they're like, what do I do?
It took a little bit of explaining and a little bit of, you know, guiding in the beginning. But I think right after, it's fun to see repeat customers bring in new guests.
Okay.
And you can see them explain, all right, here's what you got to do. Sit down, grab a menu, order here at the bar for beer. You order at the window on weekends for food, run a tab, and go find yourself a seat. So, and it's really working. Nice. Seems to be working.
Did you look at other places before Wicker Park, or was this always part of the plan here?
We just saw one place.
Yeah, we sort of fell ass backwards into this place.
Yeah. It was really just we couldn't pass up the location. You know, we felt that if this was available, we needed to jump on it before someone else did.
If you want to extend the podcast another 4 hours, we can walk you through the opening process.
We've gone through many a brewers that have tried to open up breweries, and it's long, long process.
Snags in the process.
You can only imagine a bar, Well, great. Should we get into some events happening this week and what's on the calendar?
Yeah, we do got a few events, man. Let's dive right into it, man. Let's see here.
So tomorrow we have the Sweetwater event here, March 25th.
Yes.
So definitely come check that out if you can. You know, get that cask.
That cask sounds legit, actually, because Hop Hash is a really good beer. Yeah, also on Wednesday the 25th is a Barley Wine Fest at Kaiser Tiger. So they're bringing 12 barley wines over there.
Yikes. That's a lot of barley wines to have. Like, that's a dangerous night. On a Wednesday night, a Barley Wine Fest.
Fucking Kaiser Tiger, man. And then, look, Gnarly Wine 2011 from Lagunitas, Five Rabbits Ponce, and then that Three Floyds Firestone Walker collab. They did an English style barley wine over the summer.
Oh, okay.
It's called Old Leghorn. That'll be there. And 12 total.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And bacon.
Bacon and barley wine. Sounds.
A lot of bacon there.
Yeah.
And then this week, there's there's only a few events happening that we saw, but there's got to be a lot of Sweetwater events happening around town, right? That just probably at like bars
of,
and
seems like a lot of that's going
little
on.
Tap takeovers, launch parties that you can probably find at your favorite spot.
Wasn't there an Oberon event? Was that last night?
Yeah.
Oberon, this is the week Oberon is dropping.
You know, the snow's out and Oberon's on tap.
Makes sense, right?
You throw your Oberon onto the snow to melt it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sheffields, they're also doing it. They're doing their KBS event this week too.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're doing. They got Blush and Monk and Mosaic Promise, and like three other beers.
Oh, what day is that?
That's the same day as the barley wine.
Oh, okay, Wednesday as well.
Yeah. Mosaic Promise.
Man.
Mosaic Promise is delicious.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
All their founders, Everbeus is. Good stuff.
Yeah, they say those founders guys say their favorite beer to pair at the pub up in Grand Rapids is a Robeus with the. With the breakfast out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
It's new Rubeus on top of KBS.
Like
7/8 KBS, 1/8 Rubeus.
There's some serious measurements going on here, man.
All right. Man, Wednesday's a crazy day.
Yeah, that's a big day. Yeah, and then we'll jump right into the big event this weekend, man. It's What the Ferk 2015.
Oh, we went last year.
Yeah, we did.
This is at headquarters, but this one's at the new headquarters.
Yeah,
right?
So they got a new space in River North, which is a little bit bigger than the one in the old Fatty's Rum House. It's bigger than that.
Fatty's Rum House.
Is that what that was?
It used to be, on Sheffield. It used to be
cherry rum.
Yeah, cherry.
Yeah. We know it is. We're old enough.
Yeah.
Joy Blue Cherry Rum.
Yeah. So they've got this is Sunday. They're bringing 50 breweries. It's a $75 ticket, $85 at the door, and it's all Ferkins. You know, I know last year they had a contest where, you know, they invited like 20 or so people out and there was like a blogger's choice and then there was like a people's choice. It's a voting contest.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, Ken and I, we drank every one of these beers. You couldn't do it.
You guys are troopers, man. I think I left like after like 20.
We had to rate them. There was a blogger's choice, so we had to try every one.
Yeah, so that's noon on Sunday, the 29th.
And they only do one session, right? And
yeah, they're doing just one session.
Hopefully they're a little more organized. Hopefully they learned something from last time because they didn't have enough people pouring their beers and ended up just guests and random people were pouring their own beers from the Ferkins, which kind of...
How did they set that up? Which is Ferkins, they just tap them right there. They have a little, like, a spout.
Just right out of the bar.
Yeah, they just had them on the... Right on the side of the bar. They weren't even like behind the bar, okay. So someone was pouring. They were just everywhere. In the front and so
random spots all throughout the place.
Got it.
The coolest part about that place is that they play classic like wrestling from the 80s and all day on the screens. Nice. That and American Gladiators. Yeah, like all day.
Wow.
That's all they play.
But I haven't been to the River North location yet.
Me either. I wonder if the theme is the same over there.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. We'll see.
So What the Ferk, check that out.
Yeah, one more event. The Windy City Beer Biddies are having their monthly meetup on Monday. That's the 30th. This is down at Maria's. So it's a 6:30 start. The Windy City Beer Biddies, all right, that's a mouthful right there.
Yeah.
It's a beer appreciation group. It's chicks that dig beer. They bring together women across Chicago to get ridiculously serious about beer.
Nice, okay. And it's Maria's in Bridgeport, right?
Yes, and that's a 6:30 start.
There's no other Maria's that...
Well, that's, yeah. This is after a while you start throwing around terms like, you know, Brett and Maria's and people just assume the people know. But yeah, Maria's packaged goods, you're right.
We gotta provide the information here. We can't just assume everyone knows.
You know, Maria's. Yeah.
Well, it can also get confused with Marie's Riptide, which is no longer around.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, Armitage. Where was it? Armitage?
Armitage right off the highway.
Yeah, right off the highway.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Well, we'd like to invite the beer biddies by us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We've talked about doing a woman-centered beer event.
Nice.
Definitely having the, is it Betty's? The Beer Betty's.
Yeah, Beer Betty's.
I met the lady who did the Chicks That Dig Beer a long time ago, actually, like 2 years ago before we opened up here. But we'd love to do something focused on ladies who work in the industry too. There are a lot of excellent people, particularly excellent ladies that work in the beer industry, both in sales and production. So we've been kicking the ball around on that.
Absolutely.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, amen.
Cheers.
Nice. We got fives on that. Nobody else does that either. It's ours.
Well, we got a little bit of news, but anything else people should know about Lynx before we jump into the news that we missed?
We have awesome sausages as well. We didn't really mention the food.
Have a nice kitchen, world-class cheese curds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Our recipes, great sausages, hand-cut French fries.
Yeah, food's great. Food's great. We do different specials every night. Mondays, burgers. Tuesdays, we do trivia. Wednesdays, we do mac and cheese specials. Thursdays, Italian beefs.
Sundays, wings.
Fridays, we do a Wisconsin-style fish fry with Lake Birch. And Sundays, we do wings. Four different styles.
And what else do you get with the fish fry?
You get a potato pancake.
That's right.
Potato pancake. Okay. Fish fry. Yes. Absolutely. Double on the potatoes.
And speaking of fish, if you like the band Fish, we webcast almost all the Fish concerts here. So any fanners, come on in. Keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yeah, they're just about to go on another tour, right? Yeah. It's just about to start.
Don't get me started.
Okay.
You guys got news too,
All right, so Nick, you found a couple news stories. One's about a new brewery that's opening in an old space we've all heard about.
Dude, how many times is there going to be a brewery that opens in this space? All right, so the space we're talking about is The Plant. It's on, it's in the back of the yards, which is basically like, you know, 46th Street, right? 46 near Ashland. Yeah. And it's this sustainable food plant. And there's a place called the Winery Brewery that's now going to open there. Apparently, the guy's like an old Cicerone from Bangers and Lace.
Oh, that's cool.
He was brought on as a contractor, and now he's talking about taking on an expanded role, Belgian and French-style ales in barrels at The Plant. Now, this isn't the first time we heard of The Plant, because they need a brewery.
Oh, this is Ria's place? From Bangers and Lace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. Oh, yeah, Rhea Neri. That's the guy's name. Or her name.
Girl, yeah.
Rhea, her.
Yeah, she was in Turkey for a while and opened a coffee shop in Turkey.
Really?
Yeah, and now she's back.
It's weird, man. So you need, the way it works, you need a brewery to run the plant properly.
Oh, you do? Like,
yeah, like
this building cannot operate without.
This building does not work without a brewery. Yeah, so
that seems like bad for them.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Ale Syndicate was going to operate there, but it took them forever to get everything up. So Ale Syndicate found their own thing. Back then, they were called New Chicago.
Yeah.
But apparently, this project's being revisited.
Awesome. With, okay.
Yeah, with Rio.
Weiner Brewery.
Yeah, Weiner Brewery.
Weiner Brewery.
So. One more bit of news, American Beer Classic, that's that huge party at Soldier Field. Tickets for that went on sale this week. They went on sale Monday. You get tickets now, you save $10.
Okay. Have you gone to that before, right? I've never gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never gone. I went to Ale Fest when it was in the parking lot or in the park next to the stadium.
Yeah, that was like a Chicago Beer Society event, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this is... This is a chance for you to drink on the field, and party at Soldier Field in the spring.
Cool. How much are tickets for that?
That is a $70 ticket. If you get it now, it's $60.
Not
bad. So the tickets just went on sale this week.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it for news.
Well, that does it for this week's episode. Links on Milwaukee. What's the website? Linkstaproom.com.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
1559 North Milwaukee.
Cool. And you guys.
Click on beer menu,
linkstaproom.com
/beer-menu is our up to the second beer menu that shows you the keg level and everything on there as well. So.
Good to know. You can check how much Founders Breakfast Stouters laugh before you put your pants on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you follow us on Twitter too, which is at linkstaproom, it tweets out anytime there's a keg change and tapped as well.
So. Oh, awesome. And Nick, how can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to these events, news stories we talk about, and our Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We post photos there and other events we come across that we don't mention on here. And, you know, sometimes just pictures of us drinking. Alone. In the tub. No.
Selfies.
We gotta document that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's all for you guys. Awesome. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being
guys, thanks for having us on. Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Take care. Later.